Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
Welcome into the Diener Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Mark Blankenbaker in. Drew Diener will be in a second. Diener overslept, and the problem is that, you know, I mean, if it was Nick Valvano, they would get killed, right? Like, they would get killed. But generally, Chase does the killing. Chase does the murdering normally, because if one of us ever oversleeps, you know, you get killed, you get crushed with the rejoin music throughout the day. But Chase, you can't play the music today. You can't do that.
Mouse is just, I don't know what's going on. Yesterday during the show, it just froze up, and now it's been an ordeal.
So yesterday during the show, you lost the mouse.
It just, right? Just in the middle, probably 8:30, just stopped moving.
And this is a plug-in mouse?
I think so, and we unplugged it, plugged it back in. That's about the extent of my own mouse knowledge.
the mouse knowledge ends there.
Yeah.
That's funny. You know, I would say that a corded mouse is not likely to fail. What is likely to fail is a USB port. So,
okay.
So might, maybe a different USB port, or maybe this is a Louisville Geek situation.
Yeah, 100%.
This is one of those. This is one of those times where we need to call our friends over there at Louisville Geek, who just are experts on this stuff. Chase's knowledge stops and finishes at unplugging and plugging back in.
Yeah, maybe blow on it a little bit. See if
like a Nintendo cartridge. That's amazing. So, yeah, so we've got a lot to talk about today when Diener does get in, and he'll be saved all the taunts this morning. So that's a really disappointed. It's not even mildly disappointing. It's very disappointing, because I know that you're going to have Mr. Sandman. You're going to have all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for Drew, for sleeping in. But he'll be spared all this today. But Jeff Brohm spoke yesterday, and I know we'll be able to play some sound, I hope.
Yeah, eventually here.
Of Jeff Brohm doing that. And, you know, it's really refreshing to hear from, you know, your basketball coach in the form of basically a promotional hype video, you know, which I appreciated. You know, I love that video. And then to hear from your football coach on, you know, basically the first opportunity after the 4th of July, the very first opportunity at 11 o'clock on a Monday morning during the 4th of July or right after the 4th of July, and to be able to, you know, just talk some football. Like, let's drum up some conversation about this football team. And, you know, one of the more interesting conversations that happened, and we'll get into that until Drew gets here, is the, you know, Matt McGavick asked a question about, he really focused on the on the defensive line following spring football. And one of the reasons why that happened, you know, and Jeff really didn't get into it, is because, you know, they lost Mason Reiger for the year. Mason Reiger's not going to be able to play. He's one of those guys that you figure is probably going to play 40% of the snaps, maybe more. You know, he had a really nice year last year. That's a guy that was going to be a factor, a really big-time contributor for you. And then Tyler Barron. You know, Tyler Barron was a part of the plan in the winter, spring, and then he shows up with a torn labrum. You know, Jeff Brohm famously packs him and his cousin up from Tennessee, and they go all over the place. I don't know where they ended up going, but it, you know, on paper, Tyler Barron and, you know, Mason Reiger are really nice pieces, and for two different reasons, they're now not going to be a part of your 2024 season. So Jeff Brohm had to go into the portal in, you know, the spring portaling season that it was, and pick up some defensive line, you know, transfers. And one thing you can't do at that point in time is just get one or two. You've got to get a number of guys. So,
hi, Mark.
Hey, there he is. How are you?
I woke up and I said, that's a little too bright. And I said, Alexa, what time is it? 6:35. But I am showered and shaved in here by 7:12-ish, something
wow.
like that.
Wow, man, you set some sort of land speed record.
Well, I caught every light. You know, karma was on my side this morning, you know.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Woo. So
that's awesome, man.
I just can't do a show unshaven. I just can't do it. So, I mean, even, no matter how late I am, if I'm coming in, I'm doing the quick shave.
Every now and then, I just want to grow it all out. Every now and then, I just want to
hate it.
Well, I think it's good for the skin.
Nah.
To kind of let it, like, give it a break from the razor.
Nah. Like, not for me. I can't stand
not
it.
For me.
No, then I get ingrown, you know, hairs. And,
when you shave?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, just by not shaving, no, it's disgusting. I can't do it.
Gotcha. Well, we were.
I have a little thick beard, you know.
Well, oh, you do. Oh, I see. We were discussing that you've been saved this morning by a technology glitch.
What's that?
Because Chase normally, when we're late, he will taunt us with sleep music.
Yes.
And he can't play any sleep music. He can only play. What's already in the computer?
Yeah, something happened yesterday, and my guess is we haven't called Louisville Geek yet. I'd almost bet my life on that.
That's what we were talking
about.
Even
though it's the easiest thing, and they were like, "Would anybody need to ask for it?" No, just Google the number, tell them the problem. They will probably fix it, or they'll send someone out. That's why
exactly
we don't listen to our own ads enough sometimes on this station. You know, it's like.
Well, we don't want to bother them.
That's an emergency. We don't want to bother DFH.
We just don't want to bother
them. What? It's like, God, you know, I didn't want to tell you guys about, you know, a big story. It bother you. Like, no. What we do, man. It's what we do.
That's funny. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. So it was, I think it was a combination of qualifying swim meet
cool.
last night. And I don't know, I don't sleep, as you know. So. I was of two minds. I was like, oh, no, it's late. I'm like, hang on. I slept six straight hours.
Yeah, don't be
maybe
stressed
seven.
Out about getting sleep.
I might have stressed. I might have been 7 hours. That's unbelievable.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah,
whoa.
Yeah.
Hang on.
I know. Yes. For me, that's literally the most probably in the last 5 years, if I slept 7 hours.
Really?
Yeah,
wow,
for sure.
Wow.
For sure.
What went into that?
Wish I knew. If I knew that, I'd rinse and repeat.
Yeah, what'd you do last night? Just more qualifying
swim
meets, more smoke from the grill. What do you do?
No, it wasn't even a home meet. No, it was just a swim meet, man. I don't know. So
how'd Max do?
I apparently, you know, kid never tells me anything. I get there went much faster last night because it was. I guess they don't have the young kids in these things, and so
they did like an older one.
Well, no, the qualifying meet doesn't have the kids. Doesn't have like the 8 and under or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So the qualifying meet goes faster. And I had two moms stop and tell me how well he'd done because I'd ask him. And he's like, I did pretty well. It's like, what does that mean? It seems to me the goal
That's
here
funny.
Is to qualify. Did you qualify? Well, yeah.
Yes, I qualified.
And then he wins God, he hates the butterfly. He hates the breaststroke. And what I gather is everyone hates the breaststroke.
The breaststroke? No.
Everybody hates it. Everybody hates it.
Really?
All the good swimmers hate it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a totally different skill set.
It's just,
know.
It looks
I didn't like
goofy.
Swimming it either, you know.
So, but loves the fly. So he touched out on that in his heat. So he's very happy.
With what I saw in the UFC picture when he was at the scale and he was just kind of, you know,
jacked.
Flexing. he has the body of a butterflyer, you know.
It's a sprinter. He's definitely a sprinter's body. Right. Yeah, 50.
He's got that V shape going on. He's
jacked, man.
Yeah, he's
yeah. The picture jacked. Popped up a few years ago from when I was all jacked, for lack of a better word, you know, on 4th of July, and we had our Apollo Creed shorts on. I'm like, it says, do you want to post 6 years ago a picture today? I'm like, no, because it'd be reversed.
You're jealous of your son?
I'd be like, what happened to you? And what happened to him?
Of Max?
I was like, hell no. Take that function off now. Get out of here. Are you trying to ruin my 4th of July? You son of a... You know, like, what the hell, man?
Good for Max,
dude,
though, man.
Dude is jacked.
He's got some the exercise bug, and it is working out for him.
So, I don't know. I have to check the show thread. We put a lot in there for Sheet of Lies. I mean, just I don't know that there's anything that is like, boy, we gotta start with this.
No, I mean, you know. I mean, obviously, Jeff Rahm spoke yesterday.
Yes, yes.
You know,
so we'd like to get some of that in there. Yes.
For sure. I mean, in the show thread, there was something about tipping, Djokovic.
No, but we got to start with football. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jeff, did he say anything? I mean.
Well, one of the things that was, at, you know, when Matt McGavick was.
We have the sheet, right, of Rahm quotes. Or maybe check. I think, did Nick send an email? Someone
Chase
sent an email.
Can't play it anyway.
Oh, he can't play it anyway. I can play it from here, though, right? I think I can. Yeah. I can play it. I found my aux in cord, James found my aux in cord.
Good.
So we can do that as soon as I can find the spots. Or Zach cut. Zach's got some cuts. Zachy C's got some cuts.
Zachy C sent over some cuts.
Yeah, I think you're on the email too.
Oh, I'm looking for it. I've got it.
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay.
Zachy C saving the day.
I don't think I am on that email.
Well, there's Mark. There's two Marks. I assume you're one of them. Yeah, you're on there.
I am.
So it's at your Gmail.
Oh, it's in my Gmail. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, I was in my ESPN Louisville email, but that's okay.
Okay. So we'll just go like see. Let's use this.
I like our quarterback room. We'll continue to improve there and add depth behind Tyler. The running back room, I feel confident that we have multiple guys that can go in and play and do a really good job. The receiving room, I think, has talent. We've got to just put it all together, and we've got to be more efficient and better in the passing game and find ways to create big plays and throw the ball vertically and get the ball in our receivers' hands, and they got to be consistent each and every week. And then the tight end position, we do have Mark Redman here now, who's a veteran with 1 year left to play that I think will do a really good job for us. Jamari Johnson has improved from last year. He was a true freshman, and then we've added Isaiah Cummins and Jaleel Skinner that you saw some in the spring that are continuing to advance and get better. And we're going to need the tight end position. And we have Nate Kariski, who's a solid veteran that can catch the ball and block. So I think we've improved that position, and they've got to get on the field and prove it. So in general, you know, I think we have a talented football team that just has to figure out who the playmakers are going to be, know what their roles are, and play at the highest level they can.
That was good Charlie Strong naming of the roster.
There it is.
Filon and who was always with Filon?
Filon, Brandon Dunn. You got Lorenzo Maldon.
Maldon and Filon. It's a good naming of the roster. I'm not telling you a damn thing about him.
That's right.
I don't want to hear about the offense being efficient. I want to hear vertical, because I think as Bozich wrote that article that he used the word vertical a couple of times. I don't give a damn about efficiency. I saw efficient last year.
Yeah.
It was fine. The defense is that good. Go ahead, do the same thing. Run it back.
Well, and I do think the defense is going to be, you know, as good or maybe even better than it was last year, especially if the defensive front is what you think it's going to be. But, man, imagine a year last year where Jeff Brown.
Imagine a world where
Jeff Brown gets two running backs and a wide receiver drafted, but not his quarterback.
Yeah.
That's really strange.
Really weird.
Like,
who told me the stat? Somebody was listening yesterday had the stat that they're the only team in college football that had two running backs drafted.
That's what Jeff Brohm said yesterday.
It was Jeff's stat? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's Jeff's stat. And I think I'd seen that previously because how often
I hadn't thought about that.
Have...
Oh, here it is. Here's what he had to say.
Well, Coach Barkley's done a great job. He's been with me for a while now. A lot of places he's from here. He takes a lot of pride in representing this city, this state. Last year, we had two running backs drafted. The only team in college football that had two running backs drafted. Last year, we had two running backs go to the combine. Us in Georgia were the only two teams that had two running backs backs over the combine. Their two running backs did not get drafted. So I think we've been able to develop guys. They played very well for us last year. We relied on the running game quite a bit last year. They came through for us. We still want to be balanced, but yet explosive as we can be, but you have to be able to run the football. So I think with the running backs we have, we feel like we're four deep, that just one or two need to step up and become that playmaker, the difference maker, the guy that you can count on every game. Yes. But at the same time, you know, they've showed us some things at this point, and all of them need to be ready to go. But Chris has done a really good job. He really loves coaching football here.
Again, not letting you know a lot. A lot of statement, nope. A lot of statement of the facts.
That's right.
I think the most underrated thing about the season is they held on to their whole staff.
Their entire
staff. That's not supposed to happen in today's era. On a good team. On a good team.
No, and we almost lost our running back coach to Tennessee. D'Rell Sims from Cincinnati ended up taking that job, but you know that was very close. Chris Barclay was in discussions, and you know I would have been very disappointed because you know this is his town. He's a male bulldog. I think it was something that he just wanted to explore, obviously for salary purposes and things like that. But you know it's obviously
I'm never disappointed in a coach who takes a better job. I mean
No. Well, and at this point, I don't think Louisville takes a back seat to anybody. Like, you know, in terms of like in college football, obviously in the NFL.
Would you like to be like Georgia's running back coach? Yes, I would.
Okay, but like Jeff Brohm has assembled a staff of people who value their position over others. Like Brian Brohm is his quarterback.
Brother.
Chris Barclay. Is from Louisville, always wanted to play at Louisville.
Yeah, well, so is Will Stein, and if you get to be the offensive coordinator at Oregon, you take the offensive coordinator job at Oregon.
You don't think Will Stein would like to be back home?
I think he would, but I think he would leave in a heartbeat if he were a position coach to go upgrade his career elsewhere.
Oh, sure, if he's a quarterback coach to be the offensive coordinator at Oregon, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're going to be the OC. Yeah. But, you know, but anyway, like, I think it is very rare to not even lose a position coach.
No, that's so super rare because those guys are supposed to be on the move. And I think you're always calculating, okay, maybe this job seems a bit lateral. This staff seems like it's going somewhere. So next year I could really parlay this job. You know, maybe me, you know, if it's not a coordinator position somewhere else. I mean, I think that's – if you're a position coach and you had options to go elsewhere, then I think you're betting on the fact that they're going to have a good year and you're going to get not a running back's job, a offensive coordinator position.
Sure.
Something.
Yeah,
something
absolutely.
More than just the same titles elsewhere.
And this is where – the separation really matters, like in terms of the money. You talk about the money that the SEC and the Big Ten are projected to have versus the ACC. They're going to be able to continue to raise salaries for assistant coaches and coaches and stuff like that, coaching staffs, where if you're in the ACC or the Big 12 or lower, you're looking at salaries like, how do I get rid of that very expensive coordinator? How do I get rid of this very expensive swimming coach? You know what I mean? Like, you're looking to reduce salaries in a way, but the SEC and Big Ten, they don't have to do that. You know, they can keep paying the players and, keep the salary escalations. The only teams that really are going to get in trouble with that are the teams that get in the buyout culture.
Yeah, and you've got to – to me, all these things you can overcome if you hire the right guy and don't get stuck with the wrong guy.
Yeah, you don't want to get stuck with the buyout bill. You know,
we got as big a one as you can get that's not offsettable. I mean, that's the thing that's the only disappointing thing to me about the Kenny Payne buyout and contract. That it was too much money for a guy who had no experience, had no business making that kind of money. That's the only thing I go, man, it wasn't offset. Like, a guy gets a gig, you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
We can't get that done.
Well, and we didn't do it with Bobby either. You know,
so I'm saying that's one to me that just gets. I mean, I know the coaches negotiate from a position of strength, and you have to give them certain things. That's one that doesn't seem like that's asking that much. Hey, look, we'll guarantee your money, but if you suck and you go find somebody else who will, you know, pick up a salary you're clearly not worth. See John Calipari. why should we still pay you the same amount? Like, right. Come on. A reasonable person negotiating with. I mean, look, I'm not going to suck that much, but if I do, sure, sounds reasonable to me. I'm going to get the same amount, whether, you know, Arkansas or somebody has to pick up a tab, fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is probably the most disappointing thing about this, but we didn't learn our lesson with Petrino either. And, you know, and I don't know.
Maybe you can't. Maybe it's like, look, these coaches have all the leverage when you're negotiating with a good one, and you have to do it. But that doesn't seem like a very difficult one to ask for, to say, all right, look, they got to have them guaranteed. They got to do that. But, I mean, look, if you're the worst coach in the history of Division I Power 5 basketball, and we happen to fire your ass, and somebody takes charity on you in Arkansas, can't we get a little bit of relief?
Nope. No. Because he played in the 80s. He played in the 80s.
Train wreck, man.
Absolutely. So bad.
Freaking train wreck.
It was an absolute
train wreck. The deniers, the flat earthers of the KP Mafia. They're like, no, that's fine. But what? It's not his fault they're 4-28.
It was definitely his fault. It was 100% his fault from the very beginning. If you meet somebody in the airport and they want to blame Louisville.
No, I did. No, that guy I met from Oregon, it was fascinating to me. I was kind of pushing all that. I've never seen it so bad. I was like, and I know that coaching staff was a, you know, they didn't talk then. He's like, oh, yeah, they didn't talk. But he was like, he was trying to tell me the greatness of Josh Jameson. I looked at that person totally differently when they said that. I was like, you're probably stupid, and I'm going to be dumber if I hang out with you more than 30 seconds. Get away from me. I'm definitely going to be lazy. And people are going to start questioning what I do if you rub some of that Josh Jameson off of me. Like, I couldn't think of his last name. I was like, oh, Josh, yeah. I was like, assistant coach. It was director of ops. Yeah.
You remember that Chrissy Bantis did you ever watch the movie
with Stuff.
What's that?
Chrissy Bantis here with Stuff.
Oh, she is? Oh.
Just Stuff.
I know what Stuff it is. I know what Stuff it is. Hey, Chrissy, have you ever seen the movie Crazy Stupid Love?
No.
Oh. There's a great moment in the movie where the Steve Carell character, Ryan Gosling's character, is doing a makeover on Steve Carell, and he opens up his wallet, and it's a Velcro wallet, and Ryan Gosling's character like backs up, like puts his hand out, and just walks away. That is your conversation with the gentleman trying to tell you that Josh Jameson.
Yes. Yeah. I got to go. I got to catch my flight. This is the only game.
Oh,
that's a weird.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. No. He basically told me he was a bag man out there. That's what the dude told me. I was like, what was his, like, what do you do out there? He goes, well, remember that number 11 recruit, number 7 recruit we got? I was like, yeah. He goes, well, he didn't do anything on court. I was like, oh. So he was a bag
man.
He
ran money.
He was like, shrugged his shoulders like, yeah, maybe.
Yep. Well, welcome to college athletics. I don't know what people think it's all pristine and
no, they don't.
Or they wanted to suspend belief before the rules changed. You know that nobody was paying players. But
so Danny Hurley got his deal: 6-year, $50 million.
Good for him.
Turned down 6 years, $70 million from the Lakers. Connecticut versus L.A. That's probably a wash money wise.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, he's at a place where he's happy and he's rolling.
Yeah.
He's looking for three in a row.
$50 million. So it's not like, hey.
To not move.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So another one from yesterday. I mean, I wanted to know this much as anything. Number two QB. Who's the number two QB? Who you got out there? And do we have it?
Well, the quarterback position is unique, and to play at a high level, you've got to be really good. You've got to be seasoned. You've got to be sharp. You've got to be able to make plays. You've got to be able to come through when your team needs you. You've got to be able to get the ball in the end zone. So I think, you know, right now, Pierce Clarkson continues to improve and get better. I'm getting him as many game reps as we can where the rush is coming at him. He's got to make plays and be able to adjust and play on the fly. It's important, and I think we've done a decent job of that, but he's got to continue to keep excelling at that. Harrison Bailey is a transfer we took that has shown really good things. That in the spring game, I didn't give him a whole lot of opportunity to throw the ball up the field a whole lot. That was my fault, but he's had a good spring and a good summer, and I think he can play effective football if we ask him to. He's not extremely mobile, a quarterback, but he can throw the football, and he understands our system. Brady Allen, we've had for a while now at a couple places. He continues to improve and get better. Playing fluid and playing natural and playing athletic is what he needs to work on because he's very smart. He understands what we're doing. Right now, that position's important. At some point, they're all going to play. You know, if they prove to us they can play right now, we've been known to have multiple packages where maybe two quarterbacks play, maybe three quarterbacks play. Last year, one time, 10 quarterbacks played. We probably won't have a package for that. Yeah, well, he thinks he can go out there and play as well. But you know, those guys have worked hard, and you know, it's hard to sit back and not get game reps and really feel extremely confident, even though all those guys are confident. But we've just got to make sure that we continue to get them seasoned up. But I think once we put them in, they'll be ready to go and they'll play well.
Well, now that was definitely interesting. Might play two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Might play. I mean, and I had heard reports like last year that people were worried, like, I don't know if Clarkson's going to play here. You know, I had people close say, I don't know. We'll see. And for him to say that he's maybe number two right now, that's a big statement.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's a freshman. You know what I mean?
Still.
And he was hurt in the spring.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, you're coming off an injury and you're kind of, you know, just getting your feet wet in college football. The one thing that Pierce Clarkson has is resources in terms of how to get better and things like that. More than your average college quarterback. I mean, he went out to do the Clarkson, it's not a camp, they call it something else. Mm-hmm. But it's like a summit of quarterbacks. And, you know, he's out there again and the kid works hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got some athletic ability and some talent, and he may not be the biggest guy in the world, but he works hard. Like, that's one thing about Pierce Clarkson nobody's ever going to say is that he didn't try hard enough. And so mm-hmm. I was really excited to hear that, you know, that he, you know, is kind of in that spot right now.
I'm stunned. I mean, two things stunned me there. One, yeah. That he is in the number two spot. And which is, I think it's great. I mean, I think it's great because I think there's talent there. I think there's connections there that would make a lot of sense. I really want him to work out. So I think number one that, but to go as far as might play a couple. We've been known to do that,
right?
That's I was not expecting that. I mean, I'm really curious to see if there's anything to that. If that's just Jeff doesn't just say things though, right? I mean,
Chase and I
looked at each other right then. I was like, he didn't say.
I think it's more of like a trick play package, honestly.
Maybe
but
so.
He likes to tease the trick plays for sure.
Yeah, but he did say if it was to happen right now and he had to go, like, that Pierce would be the guy right now. You know, like if we were in the game and something happened to Tyler Shuck, that Pierce Clarkson would be the guy. And what's surprising about that is that Harrison Bailey and Brady Allen look like Jeff Brohm quarterbacks.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, Pierce Clarkson doesn't. But that doesn't matter. I mean, Jeff's going to play the best one.
Yeah, we saw last year he will adapt to his talent.
Yes, he did. And he was absolutely incredible at it. But, you know, and Harrison Bailey's a highly rated guy coming out of high school. I actually think he throws a pretty good ball. Like, you know, Brady Allen's kind of all over the place. I'm rooting for him. His parents live in my neighborhood and stuff like that. But, like, it is really, like I feel like we have four really, really good options, and the freshman that's coming in, I can't remember his name, you know, you got to know.
God bless the offseason for football. We have four really good options at quarterback. Never true on any depth chart in America, but we wouldn't think that. But that's the summer. That's what's great about college football. That's the sequence of events that occur.
Look at all their ratings coming out of high school and where they are and what they look like.
If that were that simple, then, I mean, come on.
Well, I don't think it's that simple. I mean, I think that there's definitely a hierarchy. You know, and where that number two spot is, like, Pierce is the guy right now. But who's to say that it's not super close and Harrison Bailey could edge out Pearson fall camp?
I just think that speaks to how far Clarkson's come.
Yes.
To me, because I'm telling you, a couple people in the program last year were loved him, said, there's too much competition here. Not sure he has it. And I think you're right. I think the injury probably definitely inhibited him. And if he's that good of a learner, you know, and that willing of a learner, then hell, who knows what the sky could be for this guy. Because I really want it to work out. I hate all that hype, the billboards, all that, to be just nothing. You know?
Sure. And just be that he got other players to come here.
Yeah.
You know. But when I saw him last year, it felt like maybe the arm wasn't what it needed to be, you know? And then when I saw him this spring, there was a lot more pop there. A lot more pop. Like, he had got, you can tell that he physically had gotten stronger and that you could see it with him throwing the football. And, you know, arm strength is one of those things that you can work on, but you have to naturally sort of have it too. Like, you can't just all of a sudden be an elite thrower. Like, you've got, you know, it's one of those things that naturally has to be in your body at this point in your life. Maybe the injury was a big part of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and I would think, you know, their perception of it would be, you know, they didn't, when he's not your recruit, you probably didn't see him at full strength. And even if you can look at videos, you go, yeah, but. But if he has come in here and, you know, I think played from behind and gotten all the way up to two, I think that's as significant as news that you get at a Jeff Brohm press conference.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. I'm excited about this because, you know, I think the whole plan, the whole Steve Clarkson, Pierce Clarkson plan for his son has been to let him work for 2 years in an elite system.
Nobody has that attitude. That's great.
But and then for 2025, you know, maybe you play in 24 some, maybe you even play a whole game if you have to. But really the whole plan is for 2025 and beyond to see where you are. And, you know, if I'm a dad, you know, I want to play at San Jose State and start. You know, and then transfer and
just
see
depends.
What you got.
No,
yeah,
I mean,
it just depends.
It's not everybody's dad is like the quarterback guru who's like,
correct.
I mean, you don't want to listen to your parents a lot of times when you're a teenager. Although on this one,
maybe you should.
I think you would stand down.
I think you would have to, especially when you see all the pros that come to the retreat. That's what it is, the Clarkson quarterback retreat. The guys that have come through there, guys like Lamar Jackson, and then the guys that that come back. You know that mm-hmm. are pros right now that are you
just
know,
like
showing
the mini
up
Manning
that.
Camp. Like is this like the
it is like that, only it's bigger. You know, the Manning camp is a lot more exclusive.
Yeah.
This is more broad, but it's you know, a lot of high level college quarterbacks, a lot of pros in and out of that, and then because they've played in it, they want to come back and kind of pay it forward. So it's pretty, especially the Adidas athletes. You know, moving forward. So,
All right, we'll continue along here. 267-9680 is our number again. You get in UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680. Let you do that here this morning. If you are someone out there who is selling a house, go to Edlin. They will. Why would you do that? Well, the reason you would do that, glad you asked, is because they're going to charge you 1% rather than 3%, and they're going to suggest you pay the buying agent 2.5%. Why so? Because they're doing less work. They know that. The other agent knows that too. I mean, you are, you know, the buyer is finding the home. They're doing all that. So they're saying, look, I'd rather give you my full service abilities to, you know, everything you hire a realtor for. I'm not going to charge as much because I'm not working as hard. And so that's what they do over there at Edlin, been around for, you know, over a couple decades. My dad bought his house damn near a couple decades ago from Glenn really? Edlin. And you can go there and see Phil Moffitt today, and they'll tell you everything you need to know about your home. It's Edlin. You can go to edlin.com. That's EDELEN.com. And tell me who's talking about them right here.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Well, computer issues here this morning. So we're back at it here, 93 on the Ville, ESPN 6. You know, that might be one thing I would change on the show anyway. Our bumpers to welcome us back are insanely long. You know?
They are?
Oh, yeah. I mean, music and how long is that liner? I'm going to guess that liner is 15 to 18 seconds. Is it about that? Yeah.
17.
There you go. See, it's 17 seconds to welcome back. I think it's too long. So
what's the goal there? 7, 8?
I mean, just quickly. I mean, listen to a national show. Do they sound like us?
I don't know. I don't listen to many national shows. I just do our show.
Yeah. Learn from people who are better than us. You know,
nobody's better than us.
Yeah, there are. There's all plenty. Let me try it. Let me go back to what I've always said. We're not that good. Everybody else just sucks.
Well, this is news to me. I thought we were amazing.
We're not. No. Look around. Go listen to some morning shows when you're not working in this town. You go, well, whew, okay. Well, so we're best of that lot, but you know, the fake FM DJ laugh of ha, 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 you know, like,
oh, I love,
oh,
that.
My God, the things, it's just so bad. So yeah, so I you know, that might be something I want to switch up. I don't know.
I feel for Chase this morning, though, because I know what it's like to be helpless and, like, be at the mercy of technology and to have, like, everything kind of failing on you. We know it's not you, Chase.
He doesn't think it is. He's going to do what we do. We call Calvin. That's what we do.
Perfect.
And see what we got. So we'll let you in. 267-9680 is the number to do that. UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. We can get back in some of that discussion of football, because now we are, what, 53 days away? I feel like we need to go to the Kelly Dickey,
Roster.
The best. Yeah. Is there a number 53 that stands out to you?
Ooh, let me think about that. Because there, you know,
54. Wait, he hadn't posted today.
He had posted today.
No. Come on, Kelly.
Where are you, Kelly?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. We need content.
You know, 53. I feel like Jake Smith was 53.
Man, I think you're right.
Is that right? Jake Smith, he's now like a big-time like commercial attorney. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know what business he's working with. But like he's one of those guys that every so often I'll reach out with, we'll go have a lunch, and this is probably like every other year. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like every 40 or every 24 months or something. But he's a really good dude, and every time I do, I'm like, we should do this more often. And then then 2 years goes by, and then we do it again.
Well, no, it's right. I saw my friend Michael Van over last week. He's like, let's get a beer sometime. I'm like, no, let's meet today, because otherwise you put something on the calendar, because right. Otherwise it doesn't happen.
Correct.
The let's meet for a beer sometime is the biggest lie you tell someone you kind of like.
Well, then, well.
Otherwise, you would put it on the calendar.
We really like Mario Benavides, and we said the same thing to him. So let's get him on the show this month.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Let's so he was what number? He was 50. We already passed him, right?
Mario was 55. Jake was 53. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But no, so, you know, we'll wait the Kelly Dickey drop on that. So, no, but we are getting really close to football. And, you know, I was thinking about the defensive line discussion from yesterday's press conference. McGavick asked him about why go into the spring and ask, you know, in after the spring football, go get all these defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeff didn't say it, you know, because he's not going to say it, but he packed Tyler Barron's stuff up.
Yeah.
And Mason Reiger's out for the year. And so when you lose two players that going in from transfer portal season, two players like that, that are gone, well, you've got to go, and you don't know what you're getting sometimes.
Here is Jeff on the defense.
I do feel like that we've built depth on both the offense and defensive line, which is extremely important. How you play in the trenches really determines if you can win big football games or not. I think we've added valuable depth there, and hopefully we can see quite a few guys playing on both sides of the line and have great competition, and that's an important piece. When you go from there on the defensive side, I think we have some really good depth in the secondary. We feel very confident that those guys can play very well also, and they did last year, but I think we can be even better. The linebacking unit we like, but just like last year, we had some unproven pieces that stepped up and played well. There's a mixture of both now. We've got a couple veterans that I think will play well, and then we've got some new guys that need to step up and emerge and do a good job, you know, but we're confident that can be done. So the depth there maybe isn't exactly where we want it, but it's continuing to improve, and sometimes you just got to get on the field and play.
I wanted to play one more about Gelati in the leadership.
We love Ashton Gelati, what he gives our football team. A ton of experience, extremely hard worker. He wants to be great. He came back this season to prove his stock and showcase to the world how great he can be and help this team win. So I think he's been a great teammate. He's very strong at the point of attack. He can rush the passer. He's got some quickness and speed as well. He's one of those guys that can, you know, he reminds me when at Purdue we had George Karloftis, who was a first-round pick of the Chiefs. He won two Super Bowls his first 2 years with the Kansas City Chiefs. He comes back here and trains. Very similar game. Just very strong, hard workers, sneaky athletic, can move around a little bit if you need to move them at times, but a tremendous person with a great work ethic and a great teammate. So I think he needs to be our leader. He leads more by example, but it's a good example, a really good example. So I think, you know, we expect him to have a great year. And I think it's important that we play well around him so that he can showcase all the traits that he has that are really outstanding.
So, well, if you didn't know he was white before that soundbite, you do now because he called him sneaky athletic. If you've never seen Ashton Gelati play, you know his race, because only white guys are sneaky athletic.
Yeah, so, you know, he talks about like his character and being like kind of – he's not like a vocal guy. I'll give you a story about Ashton Gelati real quick. So David Blake who brings us Chick-fil-A every single Monday.
It was great yesterday, once again. Yes.
Awesome. Well, he also caters occasionally to Louisville football. And so, you know, he pulls up to...
As much as you do, or... Oh, I'm just kidding.
That's funny. Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks
Sorry,
for
it was
that.
Just sitting right yeah. there. It was just sitting right there.
Well, you know, when we were 2-10, I don't think Petrino thought I catered to Louisville.
No, no, but, I don't think so. No,
but no. But anyway, so David Blake pulls up and he's unloading, and the catering for football is a lot bigger than it is
yeah.
for us.
Yeah, it is.
And Ashton Gelati, you know, just starts helping him unload. Has, you know, doesn't say anything. He just sees David. He's like, I know what this is. I'm going to help you bring this stuff in. He does not have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and most elite-level players walk by, and they're like, hey, thank you for Chick-fil-A, and just walk on in.
Yeah.
Don't pick up anything. And you know, that just kind of speaks to
Although, if you see Chick-fil-A and you know you're going to be eating some of it and you're not willing to lift a hand, I don't want you on my team.
Well, he did it.
Yes.
I can let you
give him credit, yes. But it is like getting credit for something he's supposed to do. But,
well,
yes.
He didn't just take one trip.
Yeah.
He took multiple trips out to the car.
Yeah.
You know, and
That's
so that,
good.
That
yeah, you like that.
You know, to me, that
yeah, I would say if I did one, I'd be like, all right, I'm good. Somebody else step up, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, but he's
That's
helping
good.
David and didn't have to do it. And
yeah.
so I just think it's one of those things that, you know, he's one of those guys that Jeff Fromm's not going to pack his stuff over.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of kid that you're happy to give NIL to.
Yeah.
Because you know that he appreciates it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was just we'll get to Loya because I do want to say, I mean, we were talking about food there with football players, and I still contend, and I've always contended, nobody eats more than swimmers. Swimmers,
I would agree.
It's unreal. I mean, I remember being in high school, and I remember a couple of swimmers who were out like somewhere in spring break, and they like each ordered their own large pizza, and they weren't that full when they got done. And I'm watching it with Max and these kids after these swim meets, and I'm like, God bless you. You guys are burning a gazillion calories. I think the swimmer eats more than any other athlete.
Well, I can tell you that from my personal experience when I was swimming, I probably ate my parents out of house and home, you know. And, you know, I didn't swim at a Michael Phelps level, and I just Googled what he consumed a day. It was between 8,000 and 10,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
And they're still jacked.
Yeah.
You know, like they still don't have like hardly any body fat on them or whatever. I would agree. And you're about to go see in the Paris Olympics, you know, here in the next few weeks. It's going to be, you know, these people, they train twice a day for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, swim.
Oh, I'll give incredible. Them the training award, too.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, they train the most. I don't know if that's – I mean, I think they do. That's
well,
just,
so, like, when like I was not willing – You know, I did some morning swims, you know, some two-day swims for a little while, but I was not willing to continue down
every there. Single day. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No. Yeah. Absolutely not. Like, and that's really the separator, you know, and it really does. Like, you see it. The kids that are who commit to the morning and the afternoon swims, they're the
sure,
ones
they're
that
the
kind
ones
of take
that,
off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can see that as a separator as they get older, but I was not willing to do that.
Yeah, no. I like it. I don't love it this much. My God.
Exactly.
All right, Lloyd Gardner is on the line with us, and I had a story I wanted to get your opinion on because I know what a memorabilia guy you know, you are, and there's a story about six 1952 Mickey Mantle cards were among $2 million in cards reported stolen in Dallas. That's like the Mickey Mantle card is like the, you know, that's the one that everybody's always out there for. So I didn't know what your, I think you probably told us before, Lloyd, but like what's your top piece of, you know, paraphernalia or card or anything like that?
Well, I think, first of all, Mickey Mantle cards are just unbelievable now that he's passed away, but you have to really be careful anytime you buy anything that's autographed or signed by Mickey Mantle mm-hmm. because there were some guys in Vegas, they were doing like 300 baseballs a game and got a day, I mean, 300 baseballs, and they got caught signing Mickey Mantle's name. So you have to be very careful. It's probably the most forged name in sports memorabilia. But my my biggest thing are the jerseys that I still have from the Kentucky Colonels, the championship jerseys. I still got the three-game jerseys that Issel, Dampier, and Gilmore wore in the championship game. And I actually went – they flew me to Chicago to do a show several years ago called A Piece of the Game. And at the end, they come in and evaluate what you have, and I only took what I could carry on the plane. in the sports evaluator said it's the biggest treasure trove of one team I've ever seen. But sports memorabilia, the old stuff is really, really expensive. And people wonder why these old jerseys, like it's a Fly Williams jersey from Spirits of St. Louis, who hardly anybody knows, brought like $78,000. And the reason is, back in the old days, the 70s, 80s, and even probably the early 90s, you only had 15 jerseys, 15 whites, 15 roads. Today, the team will probably wear 25 different colored jerseys. They'll have a camouflage jersey. They'll have a pink night. They'll have a retro night. And these guys put on so many shirts, they're not worth near the money. If a player got traded, you would sit and take the name off the back, take it downtown, have somebody put another player's name on it. You didn't just go to the truck and pull out a blank jersey and put it on him. So they almost make them overnight now, where you start the season in October with a set of uniforms and 15 jerseys of each color, and that's all you had.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. This was a coordinated attack. These guys were at like a showing for this stuff, and they had two people distract the guys that were sort of maybe teenage kids sort of watching the items. And then they've got a third guy, it looks like, that comes in and actually steals these cards. So, yeah, they've got security footage now, so maybe they'll find these guys. But, man, if you have something like that and it gets stolen, you're like, man, there's no replacing that.
Well, there's no replacing it, but the thing is how are they going to sell it? Because it will.
That's a great point.
They can hold it for life, but they're going to get caught if they try to sell it, because that is monitored very closely. And the best way, if you have something that's really, really important, and my advantage is that when I have stuff, people know it's with Kentucky Colonels. They know what's authentic. But just a day-by-day collector, if you have something that's worth really something, you need to send it to PSA DNA and get the autograph certified. And particularly in trading cards, they grade them. I mean, it can't have a corner that even look like it's ever been touched to get a 10. And if you would get even a 7, 8, or 9, 10 of a Mickey Mantle, that very, very, very expensive cards, up in the millions like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And baseballs are the same way. Now, I paid $400 for a PSA DNA Mickey Mantle, and it's probably worth $1,000, $1,500 today. That's how much it's gone up.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, that one Mickey Mantle card is like, that's the gold standard, right? The rookie card? Or is it a tobacco card? Maybe it's that.
Yeah. Rookie cards are the standard no matter what. I mean, you get back in the old days when you got them in a tobacco pouch. The Ty Cobbs and people like that, those are million-dollar cards too. But the market really hit in the 90s when everybody started buying cards. Like Ricky Henderson, when he first came out, his card was worth $300. Now you can probably get it for $10.
Wow. Lloyd Gardner with us here, Ninth Round, the Ville, ESPN 670. I tell you, it's interesting more, though, and I see this now at sporting events and concerts. People don't want autographs. They want pictures. They want the selfie. Now, that doesn't do you probably much for a item, but the autograph is kind of going by the wayside.
Well, the autographs are going by the wayside, and something else people don't realize. If you have your name on it, it really devalues it. I'm talking about something that might be worth $250. If it says to Drew Diener and then it's autographed, it probably dropped at 50%. And by the way, I was at the Hall of Fame induction talking to Rick Barry, and a guy came up and he said, "Rick, would you please sign my Sports Illustrated cover?" He said, "What's your name?" He said, "I don't want my name on it." He said, "What's your name?" He said, I don't appreciate if you sign it without my name." Rick says, "I'm not going to sign it." Because what people do, they go and get those things autographed so that they can resell them, and then Rick moves out. But there are services now where athletes cannot sign autographs outside of a show, where they fly them in for the whole weekend. They sit at a table, and athletes make a lot of money. I know Artis Gilmore, Dan Issel, they both have these contracts where they fly all over the country and do autograph sessions, and they have a contract where it restricts where and what they can do with the autographs.
Yeah, Yeah, I can understand that. Lloyd Gardner with us here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7. Hell, I guess football teams probably start practicing this week, next week, something like that, or they already started practicing? High school.
Football can start tomorrow, Wednesday. I hate to say this, Fairdale's in a bad shape. They're remodeling both of our gyms. We don't have a gym locker room.
Oh,
they're scrambling around trying to find places to practice. I actually saw a Twitter this morning from the coach. They're not going to practice tomorrow. They'll meet Thursday, but we're shut down for two gyms probably till October, and I don't know what we're going to do, but got a lot of questions to be answered. But we have a great football coach, and Lewis Dover, and he'll get things worked out. But, yeah, practice starts on Wednesday. And, Drew, while we're talking about high school sports, we need to give a prayers for a young man at Harlan County who was on that championship runner-up team that played Curry County in the KCSAA championship. Reggie Cottrell, and it was at a 4th of July celebration, and he reached down to light a firecracker. He wasn't playing around. Before he ever got the wick, it exploded in his hand. He lost part of two fingers and had one finger completely amputated and had to have his thumb wired back. So Reggie Cottrell from Harlan County, I've talked to his coach, and we just need to remember that kid. He was a key part of the team. He was a left-hander.
Mm-hmm.
And coach said, well, Reggie, your basketball career. He said, coach, I'll be playing. You said my left hand wasn't any good anyway. I thought that was a great answer, but our prayers need to go out to that young man, his recovery.
Yeah, absolutely, Lloyd. Yeah, I mean, because high school, yeah, I guess practice, like you say, it starts tomorrow. School itself is in like a month. I hate this going back in early August. Man, you can't even enjoy July as much as you used to as a kid, but I guess you got to do what you got
to
do.
Well, of course, it used to go back after Labor Day because all the farmers needed help getting the crop to them. There are no farms anymore, so not in Jefferson County. But I think this year we're going back earlier than ever. We usually go back, teachers go back 11th or 12th, and I think the date this year is like the 7th, 8th, or 9th. They just keep backing it up. I don't know. I guess because working snow days and things in, but it gets earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah.
It gets out later and later every year.
Yeah. All right, Lloyd. Well, looking forward to whatever football whenever we see it, high school, college, whatever. And don't let anybody sign to and from on your autographs. Learned a little bit this morning.
That's right. Don't let them sign to and from.
All right, thanks, Lloyd.
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right, there you go. Lloyd Gardner was here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7. So we got that going on. Let's see. We'll have we're gonna talk with Aaron Flaker about 8:45.
I saw that news.
Yeah, he's going to, he's got some news, and then since he's like the biggest baseball booster around, I'm gonna we got some questions for him,
you know? For sure.
So we'll mix some of that in there, and then we got trivia from Louisville Furniture.
That's right. We'll see who's in there today. We've had Louie in there a bunch of times lately, and I think that's gone pretty well.
You know,
Ennis has been around, you know, on a Tuesday. So
We'll never know. We'll see who's in here. So
you see this photo that I sent you the other day or yesterday, and it was basically the tip amount for at this restaurant.
Yes,
and it was a total of $28. And
I wonder what it was. Do we know what it was?
No, but it's a handheld, you know, so it's one of those handheld pay things, so the server's going to stand
top
of you.
They're going to ask, or these are the iPad, that's going to ask you a question. Like, I know what question it's asking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the options were
30%, 40%, and 50%. Like, not 15, 20, 25.
Right.
Which is probably what should be displayed there, right? Like I could even be okay if it was 20, 25, 30.
Yeah.
Like, I could be okay with that. But it really, what should be there is 15, 20, 25%. Not 30, 40.
Not starting at 30. Again, I don't know what it is, but you are standing up. So
right.
It can't be that much work.
I'm standing up. I'm literally telling you what to do.
Yes.
You know, like, you get more value in the drive-thru.
Ordering standing up. This is not, you know, we're not running around doing all kinds of stuff.
There's a lot more value going through the drive-thru than there is parking your car, walking in, standing in line, ordering, you know, shuffling your feet down the way, and then paying, and then tipping?
What?
It's out of control.
It's out of control.
And I'm someone who is an avid tipper. I don't, you know, if I tip you 30, like I said, less than 30%, you've sucked as a server.
Right. You know? But to start at 30% on the scale of what you're showing on the, you know, the easy touch, that's ridiculous. That's a money grab. You know, that's enough to make me not want to go back to that place.
Everything in Vegas was expensive. But the only thing I remember is Johnny Rockets winning $22 for a combo each, and then the tip on top of it. And the tip started low as well. I mean, it started too high. It was like, the lowest one was like 20%. And I was like, you know what? You guys got me here. Just screw it. I mean, it was just whatever. Just let me remember never to eat here again as long as I live. You gouged me. You got me once. You won the battle. You lost the war. I'm never eating there again.
That's right. And they're probably in such a high walkable place that people are probably desperate
for
food.
It was the food court.
Oh, okay.
They're gouging all the food courts. You know, it's, again, I said to Max on the way out, let's just get something to the airport. It'll be a lot cheaper. And as soon as I said that, I'm like, that tells you everything.
That tells you everything.
Because that wasn't a joke. I was just dead serious. Like, you know, we can get an egg sandwich for under $25.
Right. Well, you know, when I was a kid, right, dad would always tell me that, hey, you know, go out to Vegas and everything's cheap. Like, do you get this cheap buffet, you know, cheap drinks, cheap food, stuff like that. Like, when did it change from like that to like everything's at a premium?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. Hey, is it Rich, you said? Rich is on line one. He's got a tip story. Rich, welcome. Okay. Good morning.
Hey, Drew. This is Rich from the neighborhood.
Ah, what's going on, Rich?
Hey, talking about tips. I actually just had an experience last night that's on the positive side of the tips issue. Craft House Pizza, which I had for the first time last night. Fantastic pizza. I will give it a shout out. But when I went, I did a pickup order. And when I went up, it wasn't the standard 15, 20, 25%. They had it down at, I think it was 15, 18, and 20.
That's too low.
For a tip window, and I think it's great if you're like Mark was saying, if you're walking in, you shouldn't be tipping. You know, you're tipping the cook for the pizza, but you're not tipping a server, so it should be a lot less percentages.
The thing of it is, so we're getting mad at the wrong people, though. Not the people that are there serving you. It's the owner who was trying to have you pay part of their salaries rather than just paying their salaries.
Exactly. And I had a similar situation. I won't name the restaurant, but similar situation where it was that 20, 25, 30%.
I got no problem with that at a restaurant. I got no problem with that at a restaurant.
Well, but it was the walk-up thing.
You ordered
food, and then you went and sat down. And, yeah, they brought it to your table when you had your number on the stick. So they found you and brought it to you, but still, it was like, oh God!
No, coffee shops are ruining it for the real servers, is what's happening. The industry that all of a sudden now asks you to tip for a sandwich. No. The guys serving, they're working, and I agree with what Brian Blank texted me that if you can do this, tip with cash.
Yeah,
because some places will hold the tips. I obviously tax them on it, and then hold the tips to their paycheck. So
really,
yeah.
I did not know that.
And I think you guys have mentioned this before. Please do that also for Uber and Lyft drivers.
Yes.
Don't use the system. Pay them a tip with cash because they deserve the tip with cash and not having to lose part of it because of the fact that they have to give part of the back.
I don't think they get the tip there, but then you get taxed on it. On the Uber drivers.
Yeah. Well, yes.
So they make less because it's all
in that percentage that Uber takes away from them, even though it doesn't say it, but. But, hey, can we do a quick shout-out for our upcoming thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, as most people probably have heard my voice before about St. Joe's Picnic. Our cake booth coming, or the picnic's coming up. It's the 175th anniversary picnic on August 9th and 10th. Cake booth, Drew has been and Mark have been a fantastic supporters of the cake booth over the years. We have a donor who is tied into also Cram the Van, anonymous donor who has given us $5,000 for a matching campaign and for the cake booth to be able to buy cakes for the cake booth. And Drew has been gracious enough to allow us to run this campaign on the air with the listeners. We don't have an exact date yet, do we, Drew? I know we're going to wait a week, but I don't know if we have an exact date.
Don't think so, because what's the date of the picnic?
Day of the picnic in August 9th and 10th.
And it takes the you got to give them how much notice with the cake makers?
Yeah, I probably need to have, if we can do it sometime like the week of the 21st or the week of, you know, or the 28th, one of those. That
okay.
way I have time to be able to utilize
okay.
the money for cake.
Okay,
so,
okay.
But anyway, great.
Let the cake bake. Just let the cake bake.
Let's let the cake bake.
Yeah, so and just to throw it out there in case anybody wants to donate right away, just go to donatecakes.com.
We're great website. Say that again. Donatecakes.com. Very simple.
Donatecakes.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just but if you want to hold, and let's really thank this anonymous donor for putting up all these matching funds for us. Hold it, and then we'll announce the date to everybody as we get a little closer, and we'll have a great day trying to get as much money for the cakes, which then leads to. Money for the kids, because last year the cake booth all by itself did $43,785.
Wow, geez, that's amazing.
Yeah it's an incredible thing, and it's all the people who come out and the donors, you know, that give the cakes. You know, we just, our job is just to maximize the amount of money for the kids of what we get, and over the 17 years we've now given collected over $350,000 for the kids. My family. So this is a great thing.
Great job.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah,
good work, Rich. And then we'll get that nailed down.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
I appreciate it. So we still can't go to break, right?
No, we're good now. Yeah.
Oh, we're good now?
We're good now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. We're good now. Novak Djokovic. I mean, normally I wouldn't do much tennis, but man, he said something to the crowd yesterday at the center court that I don't think anybody said this is this is like a guy getting old and don't care. The older you get, you just start saying stuff. And he said it all yesterday. He said it all. So we'll have to play that. We got plenty of other things to get to here as well. We'll get back and more to Jeff Brohm, and we'll talk to you as well here this morning as we roll along. Of course, over at Fitness Market, you know, you get these days, man, where it's so stinking hot outside. Having that treadmill inside your home is such a good option, you know, to just not have to just sweat all over everything, you know, it's just you can still get a good workout. You get your workout, and you get a better workout in when you control the environment. So it's Fitness Market, of course, over there. They've got the saunas as well, starting at $17.99 and all the way up to, from there. But then also at $34.99 you can get the massage chairs. So it's great over there, in addition to the fitness equipment, that they've got, that, you know, I have equipment from, Mike Lindsay does, Luke Hancock, Mark Ennis, even Andy Sweeney up there in Indy. And whatever you need, they'll have for you and design the room for you as well, if you wanted to. So it's Fitness Market, online at thefitnessmarket.com. Hour number two, straight ahead.